you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. It's Testimony Tuesday, and we have two special guests in the studio with us. And Mike Hale, who is going to be the one to introduce you to, he's been bragging you guys up for a few months. In fact, when he was on here in the studio on Tuesday, December 10th, and that program is archived, he talked about some of his goals, being involved in the community, helping different nonprofits mm-hmm. and charitable organizations. And he said, Mark, that CASA group is so good. Do you know much about it? Mm-hmm. I said, I really don't. Well, come with me. So he marched you and I, Marianne, up to the offices upstairs and got to introduce us. And then we figured on when we could come together and share with our Great News Radio listeners the great work that you're doing. So Mike was going to be here, but I think with the Kansas City Chiefs winning the other night, he still partied out or something.
He couldn't make it.
He had other meetings or obligations. But I wanted to have him to introduce you guys because he said, I think he sits on the board or an advisory role, and he said, the work that you do is so needed and so important and so necessary. So how about giving us a little overview of CASA, what you stand for, what you're doing? And Marianne, do you want to maybe introduce our special guest?
Well, I can try.
We're all learning. We're learning about you, too, just from the few minutes we've been together.
I think the person that's going to tell us about it first is Rush Record, and he is the executive director of CASA.
Yes.
And do you say CASA or
CASA?
CASA.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
And Emily, you're the development director?
Correct.
You're on the second mic over there. All right. Go ahead, Rush. Tell
to
us.
So CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, and what we do is provide volunteer advocates and legal representation for all of the kids that are in the court system in Champaign County who have been abused and neglected by a caregiver. So all of these kids have suffered some sort of physical abuse and been removed from their homes. And once they're removed from their homes and a court case is filed, then we are appointed to their case at the initial stage when their case starts. And at that point, we begin providing attorneys for those kids as well as volunteer support to make sure that their best interests are being met, that their needs are being served, that they're placed in an appropriate and safe home. And so we try to make sure that all the services are being put in place within a reasonable time frame so that the kids can get over these issues that they've had. And then we follow that case from the beginning to the end. So no matter how long that case starts, CASA is part of all of those cases here in Champaign County. And right now, they have about a little over 380 kids in the court system of Champaign County.
My word.
Slightly over 25% of those kids are under the age of six.
A few of my friends I know are involved have volunteered.
Right.
Meg Drennan. I don't know if I can say their names over the air. Friends and Emily Harrison. But Meg, every time she comes in, whether it's for meetings or her advocacy or training, that she always stops in and she said, Mark, this is just such a wonderful organization. But what kind of toll does it take on you? Because you have firsthand knowledge working with these kids, seeing the trauma, seeing what they've gone through. How do you brace yourself for each of these days?
I've been working with kids in this community for, gosh, I don't even want, actually 30 years now, which is kind of hard to believe.
Wow.
But I think that when
now, Emily, you're supposed to jump in and say, yeah, because you only look like 25,
right? No, she didn't do that.
Yeah.
No, started as a five-year-old.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If Mike was here, he probably would help with that, too.
Yeah.
Most people in this line of work, I guess, we really just try to make sure that we do our best and do our part for kids, in our line of work, the abused and neglected kids. I mean, we really worry more about our volunteers out there and making sure that we're supporting them in the work that they do. You know, our staff is in the trenches, but the volunteers are actually out in the community a lot, in the homes all the time, doing all these visits. And so most of our volunteers, when they come to us in the initial training, most of them have not had any experience in this field at all.
Right.
And so we start off by training them as best we can and giving them the tools necessary to go out and do the work. And we make sure that they understand that they have professional support with our advocate coordinators, with our attorneys, and you know, as a nonprofit, we couldn't do what we do without such a strong board that we have, right, with people like Mike on the board and a lot of other folks too. So,
and that's Mike Hale, the silver-tongued announcer.
Mike in the
morning. Yeah, we appreciate it.
The biggest Kansas City Chiefs fan in Champaign County.
Yeah, he's our gold standard when it comes to broadcasting.
If I can tell a quick story about Mike Hale, when I interviewed for this position, you know, I had all my thank you notes ready to go and ready to get in the mail. The next morning, the day after the interview, I go to my mailbox, and there was a thank you letter from Mike Hale from Mike in the morning. I was like, he beat me. He beat me, and it was my interview. Like, it was my job to send the
very
thank you
nice
note first. He's such
That's
a great
really
person.
Personable. Yeah.
It is, you know, and he's a great cheerleader. But, I mean, it is hard. As, you know, as Rush said, it's hard. It's really difficult. I went through the training when I started, and after that, you know, then you're capable of going in and visiting and seeing these kids and where they're living. And the poverty in Champaign County, really, I was not prepared for it, and I wasn't prepared for, you know, just what is going on in these kids' lives. But we have an amazing advocate. Her name is Candy, and she just reminds me all the time. She said, this is happening.
Right.
What are we doing to respond to it? How are we going to rise to the occasion so that these kids have a better story and a better outcome? Because whether or not we enter into that home, it's happening in that home.
That's right.
And so we need to be the adults in the room and show these kids that they're not alone. So I just try to remind myself that when I come out of a trailer park in Rantoul or, you know, some when I feel just really down, that this is taking a bad situation and making hope where there was none.
Now, you both mentioned training, and I know there's some training coming up in a week. Talk us through that, because I'm certain there's somebody listening now that's like, wait a minute, Emily just said she had no training prior to this, and that you provide that training, and you can take somebody that's had no background, no degree per se, or maybe no involvement with kids that have been in crisis. So what's that training look like, and tell us some more about it.
So we actually have a training that starts on the 21st. Our training is a combination of national CASA-based training. So for us to be able to call ourselves a CASA program, we have to meet certain requirements of national CASA and Illinois CASA, and one of those is implement their training curriculum. So we have national CASA training curriculum, and then we've added to that what we like to call kind of the local training curriculum. So we go as far deep into what a court report looks like, what a home visit looks like, what are we looking for. So really the role of a CASA is to go out, as I said, to make sure the kids are safe. In order to do that, they have to go to the homes. We teach them what we're looking for. And it's important to know that these kids are placed all over the county and in all neighborhoods in every place in Champaign County. And I've been in a lot of these places. It's not just, you know, one particular place. But we teach them what to look for. And then one of the most important roles a CASA has, they have an opportunity to write a court report for the judge and to tell the judge and make a recommendation, this is what we think should happen in this case. Now, the judge may or may not follow that, but in order to have the opportunity to be able to tell the judge that is a huge responsibility. So we give them the tools to write a court report. Our training is about 3.5 weeks long, so it's pretty intense training. It's very honest training. We go in and we really lay everything out there for them. So when they get out and do the work that we hope we've prepared them for virtually anything. And then once the training is completed and they're sworn in by the judge, then they're supervised by one of our paid staff. We also have kind of a core group of advocates that will help mentor new volunteers. So we don't just say when training is over, hey, go do the work.
You know, just throw people out there.
No, we give them whatever support they need. So each volunteer is different. One of the most unfamiliar things people do is a home visit in an unfamiliar home. So we do not have them do that first visit by themselves. They'll go with somebody who's done them before. So we teach them, we hope to teach them almost everything that they will need. Now, there will be lots and lots of questions throughout the course of it. That's what we're here for in the office. You don't have to have any experience. You just have to have a willingness or a love or a calling to want to help kids that are in crisis. You have to be 21 and be able to pass a background check. And so then we ask for a commitment of up to 2 years because that's the average length of time a case will take to work its way through the court system. But other than that, we have people from all walks of life. We have people that are currently employed. That demographic is changing a lot. When I first started in this job, a lot of our volunteers were retired. The demographic is now changing to more people that are currently employed, so they've cut out the time to be able to do that. We're always looking for male advocates. We're always looking for minority advocates. It's a very interactive training. We change it up every night. You don't have to listen to the same person every single night. It's interactive. We get a lot of positive feedback from it. So
take us through. You mentioned about 3 weeks. Is it a certain 7 to 9 at night? Are there day classes?
So
how does that work?
This particular class is an excellent in-person class. So on the 21st is the first night. We do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights. For the next roughly three and a half weeks, they're from 6 to 9 p.m., scheduled from 6 to 9 p.m. here at the second floor of Lincoln Square. And then that training culminates with a swearing in at noon. I don't have the date in front of me, but at noon, that'll be in sometime in February. And then once that's completed, we have implemented a new background check procedure that's been mandated by us. So once that background check is returned, you can go out and do the work. It's an extensive commitment.
So it's about a 20-hour training.
It's about 30, yeah.
Okay, 30 hours, and it's coming up on the 21st, so a week from today. So it'll be next week, 6 to 9, basically, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the subsequent weeks after next week.
And we need people to reach out to us prior to that to get an application and an interview done, if at all possible, and get some paperwork done prior to the 21st.
So is there a website or a phone number? Or give us both.
Sure. Our website is CASA4kids.org. There is an application on the website you can fill out. Or the number is 384-9065.
Okay, wait. Slow down. I'm writing out. So CASA, C-A-S-A, 4, the number 4.
Kids, K-I-D-S,
.org. .org. And then the phone number,
217-384-384.
I'm writing this down.
9065.
Now, if you're driving along, don't drive off the road.
That's
You know, just call the station. You know that number, 367-7777. Karen will have this information. So, sure, there's at least a half a dozen. There's some people tuning in that there's a stirring in their heart. Mm-hmm. Wow, if they'll provide training. I have a real heart for kids or those that are disenfranchised or those that have been abused. And I want to be a healing agent. I want to get involved. And so they can stop by the website, CASA, CASA4kids.org.
Right.
And when they call this 217-384-9065, do they get a hold of you, Emily, or who answers that phone, and then what's the next steps?
Yes, there's a variety of people who will answer the phone. I am one of those people. But we will get you to somebody who will fill out an application with you, whether it be Brooke or Leah. Those are two names that you can ask for. You can ask for Rush, or you can ask for Emily as well. We will point you to the right person.
Somebody will be
glad to help you, yes. You know, and what's cool about this is even if you can't make the January training, we have upcoming flexible trainings, so we have, it's a combo of online and in-person training so that you get that local feel and we see you face-to-face, but it's not three nights a week. You do some of the programming online. And we have further in-person trainings happening in April and throughout the year. So even if all we do is we touch base with you this week and we say, hey, you know, we'll get your application in, think about why you want to do this, it's very basic. You know, we just want to know that you care about kids and you're willing to commit for the 2 years.
The other thing, too, is we don't want anybody listening to automatically think they can't do it because, as we said, it's difficult work. It's emotional work. If you think you can't do it, we want to talk to you and try to alleviate some of your concerns and try to talk through the process because we've had people that come to us that they didn't think they could do it, and they're doing fine, and they're doing great.
End up being the best one.
Yeah. I was going to say, I can imagine
it's not a volunteer opportunity for everybody. Yeah. I will say that. But I don't want to have a very good potential volunteer out there not call us or attempt to go through the training just because they automatically think they can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Walk us through a couple of the success stories, maybe somebody that was reluctant or didn't feel they were capable and how they're being used. And then maybe walk us through a situation where here's a child that has had a terrible experience with family.
You don't have to use any names.
But walk us through where you've seen, because of the volunteers, because of the services you provided, where this child now is thriving in the community, contributing to our society.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the most common things that we had an issue with really a couple of years ago when we had the magnificent budget issues here in the state, there were a lot of kids getting caught in that. And they were getting caught because bills weren't being paid, or many times we would have kids that would be in hospitals or psychiatric areas far longer than they should have been because of a lack of services or a lack of payment or et cetera. And we've had some kids, you know, we can't talk specifics, but we've had many kids who we have helped get discharged on a more appropriate time setting. Mm-hmm. We had a child one time that had braces on far too long, far longer than should have been. And because we have the ability to go to court with our attorneys, we can sometimes file motions on those kids' behalf to compel the agencies to get the work done. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of, you know, incidences of or examples of having kids removed from inappropriate placements and getting them placed into a more appropriate setting. We have a lot of instances of kids being reunified with their families. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever the issue was that came to the court that got the kids in front of court got resolved, and we, you know, may have helped getting services in place for everybody. You know, we advocate for kids at school all the time, mm-hmm. to get needed counseling, get mm-hmm. needed services at school. So there's a lot of those examples out there.
And I'll say, you mentioned an advocate earlier in the beginning, and I won't say her name just in case she doesn't want to share this story, but even just at the child level, I think we as adults feel like we have to be some sort of superhero in order to be qualified to even hang out or just visit and check in on a kid. These children have never had a consistent adult presence in their lives. And so just showing up at their house once a month and saying, hey, how's it going? Like, I brought a coloring book. You are a superhero to them. And we had one advocate who was visiting, and she had been with this kid, I think, six, seven months visiting this child. And one day he looked up and he said, do you get paid to do this? Hmm. And she said, what do you mean? She's like, you know, like everybody else, are you paid to be with me right now? And she's like, no, sweetie, I'm here because I just want to be with you. And he just said, huh, that's pretty cool. And he kept coloring. And like, you just, I mean, that you never know right. when that moment will happen and what kid needs you. So I love yeah. hearing that and going in and just looking this child in the eye and showing up for them is enough.
And what kind of flexibility after the training, like mm-hmm. these CASA volunteers that go into mm-hmm. situations, are they able to take them to the mall or out for ice cream or dinner? What
so
is
one of the more difficult things about our mm-hmm. program is that we're not a mentoring organization, and that can be difficult for us to say, but because we have a legal relationship with the kids as well, mm-hmm. We need to try to keep a little bit of a distance, because one of the reasons is we are making recommendations, as I said, on behalf of these kids. So mm-hmm. we are making recommendations on what we think is in their best interest. And many times it may not be what the child wants. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the things I can tell you for sure in this business is all of these kids, no matter what has happened to them, no matter what kind of abuse has occurred to them, they all want to go back home. So sometimes that's the abusive home, right. and many times that may not be the best thing for them. So we need to try to keep that boundary mm-hmm. between our advocates and the children so that they don't feel like they're abandoned again if we make a recommendation right. that goes against. So, no, we don't encourage that. We do observe visits at local restaurants and schools, et cetera, but our advocates can't transport kids.
Okay.
We don't deliver services. Right. We recommend that services sure. be implemented, but we don't deliver them. Our successes are more on the making sure things are implemented and advocating for them every single day.
Sure.
And you often don't know what you don't know. Like, we've had an advocate go into the home, and she was just looking through and making sure that all the medications were in place and they were getting everything they needed, and found an unfilled bottle prescribed to this child that was critical medication that this child needed. We had no idea this child was on this medication, but when we looked into it, it hadn't been filled in over 3 months. Mm. And so nobody, the agency workers didn't know that. You just don't know what you don't know. We need caring adults to just go in and make sure that everything is okay.
You mentioned that training will start next week, and there will be other training down the road in case somebody can't commit
right.
or make the decision right away or get their paperwork in, but they can find out more at CASA4Kids.org,
yep.
CASA4Kids, the number 4 kids, or you can call 217-384-9065, mm-hmm. 217-384-9065. Training starts a week from today on Tuesday the 21st, right here at Lincoln Square
right. yep.
on the second floor.
yep.
So come on by, say hi at the Great News Radio Center, and then head upstairs to the CASA offices. You've been in there a little over a year.
A little over a year, yeah.
Real nice
yeah.
facilities, yeah. and you've been in the mall here for 8 or 10 years, a number of years.
It's a great location. We have easy access for volunteers to park and then head over to the courthouse if they need to go to the court hearing for their kids.
And one of the things you asked, too, about flexibilities with a volunteer, many times a lot of this work can be done on their schedules. There are some meetings and court hearings and things like that that we don't have any control over, but many times the volunteers can schedule a lot of this work around anything that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we help them with that. We walk them through the process. We tell a volunteer initially roughly 10 hours a month would be a good kind of round number to plan on, but it also depends on which stage your case is in.
Sure. Well, we have a lot of prayer warriors in our Great News Radio listening family. So if God was going to answer one or two of your prayers, what would they be?
I would just say to have this community not forget about these kids.
That's a great prayer. And
I think about that every day. They often feel like they're forgotten, that nobody knows that they exist, let alone that they're suffering. And however that manifests in you, that's great. Just please don't forget about them.
I'd just as soon be out of a job, to be honest. Ultimately, if we could eliminate that. But, you know, barring that, I think, you know, Emily is exactly right that we need to make sure that it's really our obligation to take care of these kids when this has happened to them. And we just do the best we possibly can. So, you know, we always need folks. So we need some people knocking down the doors to help advocate for these abused and neglected kids in the county.
Well, I just love what you said. You'd like to be out of a job. You've been in the system and working here in Champaign, probation officer, different things for a number of years.
Right.
And I love what you said. And thank you, both of you. I mean, really, for what you're doing in your life to help the children of this. That's amazing.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate that, but we need to thank our volunteers,
too. Absolutely, yes.
And there's training coming up a week from today on Tuesday, the 21st, right here at Lincoln Square. About 20 to 30 hours. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights over the course of the next few weeks. You can find out more at CASA4Kids.org, CASA, and then the number 4Kids.org, or you can call 217-384-9065, 217-384-9065. Well, thank you, Rush and Emily,
thank
for joining
you.
Us
thank
here.
You.
We're in the same building,
That's
so
right.
I'll wave at
Hi
you,
neighbor.
Or you wave at us
That's
when you
right.
go by. And
great.
Come on, listener, this is a great opportunity for you to use your skills, your heart for children, be that healing balm, that caring heart to help kids in need. Find out more about CASA at CASA4Kids.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.